The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
One of our stories today, you may have heard this. This is just sick. During a Trinity Chapel in Cambridge, over across the pond, people shouting heresy during a sermon on Christ's trans body. I'll get to that. I'm going to use some words that are going to make you uncomfortable. But your comfort is secondary to just sharing the truth. And again, just a reminder of the overall direction of not just the United States of America, but the world. And if you are in Christ, then you know that sooner or later that will stop. I mean, it was interesting even this morning listening to Glenn Beck and his, who's a Mormon, and his Mormon buddy, not Stu, the other guy who's not on usually anymore, talking about, you know, hoping Jesus comes back soon. Of course, the challenge with Mormonism, if you're a biblical Christian, is it has the same basic vocabulary, but a totally different dictionary. And so you don't be fooled when you're listening to a Mormon talking about Jesus or resurrection or even gospel sounding things like redemption, atonement, because their definition of Jesus and God and who goes to heaven and who doesn't, all kinds of things are just completely off the reservation. So be careful with that. Don't just assume because people use the same words you do or I do that they actually believe the same things. But talking about Jesus coming back just because of the state of the nation, the state of the world, and over the weekend. I mean, can Anthony Fauci go away now, please? Lord, that's just on my Christmas list. I'm so tired of hearing it. I really only want to hear Anthony Fauci at this point in front of a Republican-led House of Representatives committee sometime early next year, getting grilled on everything that they did wrong with respect to COVID, and he just won't admit it. So he was on the Sunday shows. He did his last White House presser last week. And between him and Dr. Ashish Jha at the, I don't know which part of the government apparatus he is, are talking about, you know, get that vax, get that booster. It's not a vax. We all know that now, right? It's not a vaccine. Call it a jab, call it a shot, call it whatever you want. But it's not, don't call it a vaccine because it isn't one. But they're talking about, hey, you know what? You know what we really need to do coming into the winter? Got to make sure you're vaxxed. Got to make sure you get that COVID booster. Why? Because that it's now known to just follow the science, Pope Fauci and anybody else, follow the science. Washington Post had an article on this recently that the majority of people dying today from COVID are actually people that have received the shot or numerous additions to the shot, all the boosters. And so they're talking about people can move on, meaning you can have a normal holiday season, if they've had get their immunity up to date, which would include COVID shots. And so it's just on and on and on talking about actually maybe we need to put Christmas off. So, I mean, just crazy talk because these people have no interest in reality. It's not about the science. It's never been about the science. It's always been about control as well as pride. And Anthony Fauci, perhaps the most prideful guy in the federal government. I don't know. I'm not God, but it sure seems that way. And he just refuses to admit that they've done anything wrong. He just punts it, puts it on Trump, puts it on Republicans, puts it on senators, whatever, but never on him. And then he was talking about China. Fauci gave the defense of China when he was asked during the origins about the origins of COVID-19, which many experts believe occurred during an accident at a lab in Wuhan. Okay, this was on the Sunday shows. He's making his final rounds here as he collects his final paychecks, the largest of any employee in the federal government, $432,000 a year. Makes more than the president. Fauci claimed during an interview with CBS News' Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation that China often acts secretive even when there's nothing at all to hide. Why all the playing nice with the Chinese? Fauci pointed to several other outbreaks in there, like the SARS-CoV-1 in the early 2000s as an example. However, a 2003 report from the New York Times highlighted that China later admitted to underreporting cases of the disease. Hey, Tony, don't you know you can't actually believe anything China says unless you can verify it yourself? You can't believe them. Brennan, the reporter, then mentioned how a recent op-ed from the Washington Post editorial board said that the cover-up is immense and still in place, and that China needed to allow a new investigation into the pandemic's origins. Do you agree with that word, cover-up? Brennan asked. An intentional distortion? Fauci responds, I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what they're talking about. I mean, if a cover-up is not allowing people to come in and look at all the data, that's not a cover. That's not being transparent, right? It's not lying. It's being less than truthful. He's a total politician. Fauci then defended China for not turning over its primary data from the pandemic by blaming the Trump administration, of course. Quote, they can say, oh, you know, it's in frozen food, or it's in this, or it's in that, but there's no primary data, he said. The WHO, oh, we can trust them, went in and saw some of the data, which was actually quite helpful. But you know what we need, Margaret. We need transparency and a collaboration to open things up so we can discuss it in a non-accusatory way. Right, we don't want to discuss it in an accusatory way, Fauci, because that puts you in the hot seat because you figured out a way to fund some gain-of-function research that we were putting money into the Wuhan lab. That was under you, Pope Fauci. And then it went south, and so you're actually to blame, but he's never going to do that. So he's not going to go anywhere near it. So he's actually going to cover, to a certain extent, for the Chinese government, because he doesn't want transparency. Transparency will betray him, of course. And so China, we can trust them. China, did you know this with the World Cup coverage? They're delaying everything, all the World Cup coverage, so that what you see, what they see in South America, what you see in Canada at the World Cup, China delays it, and then they blot out all the people in the crowds, which is like 99% of them, that aren't wearing masks, because they don't want their people in China to see that the rest of the world has gotten over it, unlike Dr. Fauci. We'll be right back.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one.
Welcome back. Merry Christmas. It's Steve Noble at the Steve Noble Show. Now that we're on the other side of Thanksgiving, I feel good about saying that. Merry Christmas. Hope you're going to have a wonderful Christmas season between now and the end of the year. So much to celebrate, so much to consider and look forward to. I'll talk about that for a couple of minutes. Something I read in the Federalist earlier today, the case for observing a quiet Advent season this year. Amen. Doesn't quiet sound nice? Doesn't that sound inviting? Quiet. Quiet. Shh. Nope, sorry. I'm not trying to do a Joe Biden impersonation. Protesters call for Xi Jinping to step down. This is getting wild over in China because they're just COVID crazy over there. I mean, what's up with that? It's absolute iron-fisted control. That's just the deal with Xi Jinping. That's the deal with China. That's the deal with communism. Forget free speech. Forget free will. Forget anything free. But it's amazing what they're doing over there. China's oppressive COVID lockdown measures continue to fuel protests as news of President Xi Jinping's extreme approach shocks the world. The growing conflict between the government and the Chinese people has accelerated in recent weeks. Why is that? Because God made people to be self-determinative, friends. We're supposed to be self-determined. We have liberty, free will, not to be locked down by the government. Some cities have endured more than 100 days of entire cities under severe lockdowns, despite just 38,000 people testing positive for the coronavirus. Now watch, this is how the mainstream media plays these games. This is how they would play this. 38,000 people in China have tested positive for the coronavirus. And that's it, period. 38,000 people. And we know that a significant percentage of them will die. And that's how the mainstream media has played us for 3 years. because they leave out the rest of it. This is the full line. Just 38,000 people testing positive for the coronavirus among a population of over 1.4 billion with a B, billion. So you know what you call that? 38,000 people out of 1.4 billion? Statistically insignificant is what you call it. You don't manage anything by the extreme outlier, which is what this is. Residents of major cities across China have been fenced in with limited opportunities to travel. Some provinces have implemented such lockdowns for more than three straight months as the pandemic extends into its third year there. Recent measures include roadblocks, mall closures, schools returning to online learning, and park shutdowns. Yep, can't go outside. And watch, go online and watch some of the videos of these protests and the craziness there and these giant groups of people in white suits, all like lab type suits with all the gear and the headset and everything. It's crazy. Looks like it's a movie. But that's what they're doing. Lockdown breakers have been arrested while government censorship blocks those speaking out against the government's oppressive rules. Wow, that sounds familiar. The New York Times reported last week that family members have been separated over COVID, including children removed from their parents. The Nation, go look at this too. The Nation is also reportedly building quarantine centers, including one currently under construction that will reportedly house up to 80,000 people. 80,000! Earlier this month, the AP reported that the city of Guangzhou announced plans to build quarantine facilities for nearly 250,000 people. The restrictions are also widespread, impacting around 340 million people across 37 cities in China, approximately a quarter of the population. They're nuts. Control? Why? What do they know that we don't know? I don't know, but it's crazy. That's crazy. But that's China for you. Here's somebody that's a little crazy, but also pretty smart. Are you watching all the Elon Musk stuff going on with Twitter? Now he's going to war with Apple because Apple's threatening to remove Twitter from the App Store. What? Right? So here's Elon Musk tweeting. Apple has also threatened to withhold Twitter from its App Store, but won't tell us why. And then he goes on to he tweeted this. Did you know Apple puts a secret 30% tax on everything you buy through their App Store? And they explained that. And then somebody said, somebody tweeted and included Elon Musk. Is Apple threatening Twitter's presence in the App Store or otherwise making moderation demands? Elon Musk said, yep. Then he tweeted this. Apple has mostly stopped advertising on Twitter. Do they hate free speech in America? What's going on here at Tim Cook? That's the CEO of Apple. And then he goes on. Who else is Apple censored? He's just retweeting stuff. Then there's this one. The rabbit hole on Twitter posted this. 97.5% of Apple's donations are to the Democratic Party. Wow. Twitter allowing free speech is against party interests, so Apple must play the role of enforcer. That's exactly what's happening here. Elon Musk chimes in on that one. Wow, they don't sound biased at all. So then he's talking about, hey, if you guys, somebody asked him, hey, Elon, if Apple actually boots you out of the App Store, okay, so you can't go to the Apple App Store, you can't go there to get Twitter, would you consider building a smartphone, your own, right? Musk's remarks came in response to a tweet from a political commentator, Liz Wheeler, who wrote, if Apple and Google boot Twitter from their app stores, and Elon Musk should produce his own smartphone. Half the country would happily ditch the bias snooping iPhone and Android, she said. The man builds rockets to Mars. A silly little smartphone should be easy, right? Musk responded, I certainly hope it does not come to that, but yes, if there is no other choice, I will make an alternative phone. This is great. The statement from Musk comes amid pressure from advertisers and left-wing activists to police content that they deem to be hate speech. You know what hate speech is? Anything that makes a decent case against the progressive liberal worldview. Anything. So that's hate speech. But actually, things are down there. The amounts of hate speech are down. He's using the same kind of controls that they used before to measure that. But he's picking up like 2 million new Twitter users a day and the average posting's going up. So that's all good for him. But if Twitter gets removed from the app stores at Google and Apple, that's a huge problem. And so would Elon just go ahead and make his own smartphone? I think the answer to that would be yes. Wouldn't that be fascinating? So we're watching a free speech, Iron Man, Tony Stark-esque person like Elon Musk going up against the leftist progressive big tech machine, because they are freaking out that a free speech advocate now controls Twitter. So this is just a fascinating grab some popcorn and sit down and watch, because this is the gift that keeps on giving. By the way, did you know what happened on November 15th? Just 13 days ago, 2 weeks ago, on November 15th, I hadn't seen this. The world's population surpassed 8 billion people. This milestone, of course, is being condemned in some quarters as a threat to sustainable development and global standards of living. Right now, we get all the climate people in there, and they're also population control people. This is an article from the Daily Wire, I think. Some neo-Malthusians are using the occasion to raise alarm about the dangers of overpopulation to the global food supply and warn of impending famine. Should we take any of this hands-wringing seriously? Tesla CEO Elon Musk recently tweeted, "A collapsing birth rate is the biggest danger civilization faces by far. Far too many people are under the illusion that Earth is overpopulated, even though birth rates trends are so obviously headed to population collapse." In another tweet, he said, "Unless something changes to cause the birth rate to exceed the death rate, Japan will eventually cease to exist. This would be a great loss for the world." He makes a good point, the article says. An average fertility rate of 2.1 children per woman per lifetime is needed to keep population at a replacement level. The Japanese fertility rate, for example, is 1.4. So they're headed to disaster. It's 0.9 in South Korea. So their population is going to decrease and eventually disappear. 1.2 in Spain and 1.3 in Italy. We're right around 2.1 in America. They're slightly under that in Europe. The world's population in the meantime will likely peak at 9.8 billion people at around 2080 and fall to 9.5 billion by 2100 in the medium fertility scenario. And then there's some interesting in this article, I'm not going to go into it, but some interesting tie-ins about more people leads to more innovation, which makes it better for more people. Imagine that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Fourth segment, we'll be talking to our good friend David Fisher, a bunch to catch up there as what's going on with stocks. Are we going to look at a Christmas rally? The crypto crazy stuff's going on. What's going on with central banks around the world? Very important things to keep in your mind and to understand, which is why David's on regularly, to help us understand that so we can be better stewards of what we've been given. The Bible talks a lot about money and possessions, and so we should think about it regularly. Should we not? And especially this time of year and with the economy the way it is, it's only going to get worse next year. So we need to be prepared. We need to be wise, which is why it's helpful to have David come on and help us understand some of these things. I wanted to finish up a couple other thoughts out of this article. Global population hits 8 billion. That was back on November 15th, and it keeps growing. We need to keep growing, as the article's authors are saying. The United Nations and people of the Great Reset are all like, overpopulation, overpopulation. Do you know that we produce enough food to take care of everybody on the planet? Yet we have people starving. We have people not getting enough food. Want to know why? It's not because we don't have the capacity for it. It's because we don't have the heart for it. We don't care enough. That's a sin problem. It's not a production problem. It's not a population problem. It's a sin problem. But one of the things they point out here, and they're talking about innovation, that innovation is what makes population growth a good thing. The more people you have, the more innovation you get, right? Because you get more people, and more people are thinking, and more people are exploring. But it only works. So they're talking about the collapsing fertility rates, right? We're not producing enough people to replace ourselves. So we're going to go up, and we're going to hit about 8.9 billion or something like that, then start coming back down. And then we looked at a couple of countries where their population rates are below replenishment. America's right on the edge. Europe's below it. Okay. So their population is going to decrease. And so they're looking at this and talking about from a book, how innovation works and why it flourishes in freedom. Innovation is the most important fact about the modern world, but one of the least well understood. To innovate, listen to this, people must be allowed to think, speak, publish, associate, and disagree. They must be allowed to save, invest, trade, and profit. And that's exactly what the Great Reset and most progressives are against. The threat to humanity, therefore, goes beyond our collapsing fertility rate. Superabundance also depends on human freedom and equal dignity, which started in Western Europe during the Enlightenment and then spread elsewhere. But where did it come from originally? Let me scratch my head here for a second. Where did those notions come from? Yes, I'm taking a victory lap here. Those notions of human dignity and human freedom. Equal dignity. Human dignity and human freedom. Where does that come from? Does that come from the Western civilization, the Enlightenment? Well, it comes out before that. It comes from the B-I-B-L-E. That is a biblical worldview. That is a biblical truth. And when men are free, but you throw our sin nature in there, you get something like the Tower of Babel. But when men are free, and you believe in human dignity, and when we love our neighbor as ourselves, it's amazing what we can do. That's what God said when they came down to see what was going on with the Tower of Babel. But essentially, there's nothing these people can't accomplish when they put their minds to it. But we were doing it for all the wrong reasons, and so God introduced multiple language and scattered us. And so there you go. It's not a replenishment rate. It's human dignity and human freedom, which are deeply biblical. Image bearer language, the Imago Dei. And I'm sure grateful, especially this year, this time of year, as we consider the arrival of Christ, that mercy triumphs over judgment. People shout heresy during a sermon. I'm going to use some very frank language here, okay? I'm not crossing any lines with the FCC. It's just frank. People shout heresy during a sermon on Christ's trans body and vaginal side wound at Trinity Chapel in Cambridge. Joshua Heath delivered a homily from the pulpit of Trinity Chapel in Cambridge, England, in which he showed several images of medieval paintings of Christ and suggested that Christ had a trans body and that the wound in his side was vaginal. I'm not making this up. Do you think God just sits there and goes, it's another day in paradise? No, this is all being stored up, friends. All this wrath is being stored up. Mercy triumphs over judgment now, okay? But once judgment comes, mercy's done. See ya, mercy, you're out. And it's just judgment. And we should lament over that. Urge a welcoming rather than hostile response towards the raised voices of trans people, and that the spear wound in Jesus' side takes on a decidedly vaginal appearance. In Christ's simultaneously masculine and feminine body in these works, if the body of Christ, as these works suggest, the body of all bodies, then his body is also the trans body, Heath said. Some people left crying. Some people were shouting heresy. I would have shouted, why are you going there in the first place? That's a good question. The dean kind of shrugged it off. You know, the sermon addressed the image of Christ, depicted in art, and then they came back and said, well, that's not exactly our position. Yeah, but the guy works for you. He's in your quote-unquote pulpit, in your quote-unquote church. And you think God just ignores this stuff? Or here, like at the Wisconsin Children's Hospital, which continues to go down full bore down the trans road. Wisconsin's premier children's hospital has had its fair share of scandal, particularly with regard to religious liberty and leadership. But the bar just keeps getting lower. Children's Wisconsin is now hiring trans activists as chaplains and spiritual care interns, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Children's staff members were first notified of such new hires when flyers were posted around the inpatient units advertising, "Meet your new chaplain, Kate Neuendorp." The first tip-off to Neuendorp's beliefs about the sexes was featured prominently on the posters with a proclamation of her pronouns as she, her, hers, and those of her fiancé, a female who goes by they, he. Quote, working in a pediatric hospital is a dream come true. Wow. She's quoted on the flyer, I'm so excited to be working alongside everyone and I'm pumped to be a part of the team. Think of me as your friendly next door neighbor. The new chaplain is all in for transgender surgeries, abortion, and a rejection of religious teaching, which cuts against her personal comfort. Quote, love Jesus, be gay, get ordained. She wrote on her Facebook in June with pictures of herself in rainbow garb. What better way to celebrate pride than being ordained? Many thanks to my church and classes for being willing to stand for queer folks being included in ministry and for allowing me to follow God's call. You have not been called by God, man. You're going to be judged by him, but you haven't been called. He doesn't call you and subsequently set you loose to blaspheme and be a heretic. Several months later, on October 17th, just last month, after announcing her engagement to her female fiance who identifies as transgender, the Children's Wisconsin chaplain spouted off about her church online. Quote, also your casual reminder that my validity as an ordained minister is currently under review by my denomination because of the love I feel for my fiance. Do better, church, because I'm not going anywhere. I was called, she wrote. Children's also recently posted a flyer for a spiritual care intern named Meg Trim, who demanded to be referred to by the third-person plural pronouns they and them. This chaplain intern was an LGBTQ+ community educator and LGBTQ+ teen safe space facilitator who believes, quote, a professional chaplain's job is not to convert anyone or preach religion, but to empower each person to find and use the hope and resilient systems they already have. Like Neuendorp, Trim rejects biblical teachings such as the concurrent depravity and creation in God's image of people of all skin colors, to instead espouse the most radical of left-wing political and theological views. Trim has shared numerous TikToks of herself deconstructing my white supremacy, explaining that gender is infinite, proclaiming God is transgender, and saying God has a purpose for your life and it might be frickin' queer. I'm just reading the quote. All right, so what do you do with that, friend? What do you do with it? It disgusts me. It angers me. It fires me up. But it also, again, I think I said this on the break. You know, Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and he weeps because he sees that all these people are like sheep without a shepherd. And sheep are easily led to slaughter. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And so the only thing, it ain't Trump, it ain't DeSantis, it ain't the White House, it ain't Congress. Those things are important and they can make a difference, but they basically make a dent. These things are way too big, way too dark, way too many spiritual forces in play here. Whether we're talking about the United States of America, with some Wisconsin hospital, Pope Fauci, China, the World Cup, whatever. There are so many things at play here. This is way beyond any one man, any one chamber of Congress, any one political party to solve. This is way beyond it. And I don't know that there's any coming back from the precipice here. Not to be a Debbie Downer on the heels of Thanksgiving and preceding our celebration of the incarnation and birth of Jesus Christ. But think about that for a second. In light of, and I'm going to share this story tomorrow, I don't have time today, the case for observing a quiet Advent season this year. Man, there's some great things in this article. I'm going to share that tomorrow, talking about the Advent season between now and Christmas. And in a world that's just running headlong, just right into the depths of hell. I mean, it's bad and getting worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse in my lifetime. It's going to get worse in the next generation's lifetime until Jesus comes back and puts a stop to it. And mercy triumphs over judgment. But once judgment comes, like I said earlier, mercy's done. And in the meantime, we better be prayerful and we better be doing what we can in our own spheres of influence to lift up the name of Jesus, to try to follow him more effectively in our own lives, and to pray for revival in the church and awakening in the street. That is the only chance this country or any country has before Jesus comes back. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you as always. Looking at the year to date on the Dow Jones Industrial, which is down quite a bit today, down almost 500 points, 497.57. You go 5 days and it was up, 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 and now down. And you go 1 month and it was down, 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 up, 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 up. And you go 6 months and you're like, well, that's pretty red. And you go year to date and it started at 36,338. And now we're down, obviously, to 33,849. So it's been a very difficult year on Wall Street, very difficult year for most of us in general when it comes to finances, which is why it's great to have our buddy David Fisher with us once a week to help us understand all these things. But we'll start first in the book of Proverbs and the good word. But David, welcome back. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, I had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm so glad to be on your program. And if your producer can turn my feedback, there you go. I had my voice coming back in my ear, but thanks for having me on your program.
You're welcome. It's great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. So before we dive into some of these things and the stock market indexes and a short-term rally, which was pretty exciting there for a couple of days, and then we got the Federal Reserve and all that mess, but let's start where we should start, because this is one that I need to hear myself, and especially when I went through all the stories I just went through in the last three segments. But let's start there. Proverbs 29:11. I'm thinking I'm probably not the only one that needs to hear this today.
Yeah, I think I need to hear it, and everyone else that hearing our voice needs to hear this to a certain extent. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. So my dad was one of a handful of people, probably number one, who really influenced me, really have I mean, he served in the church. He served on the in the ministry of the church. He served on the hospital board. He served on the presidents of all agricultural facilities that we owned, which was a feed mill. He did a lot of great things. Mm. One thing that I can say that he's known for is he was very slow to anger. I saw him get angry, but somehow, some way, he took a deep breath and he controlled his anger so that he, when he was supposed to talk to somebody, he didn't take that out, that anger out on somebody, and he continued to build that relationship. And I think that's something that I might have gleaned from him, one of many things, that we all get angry. It's what we do with that anger. Do we water the seed of angry and get furious? I think that's why we have a lot of shootings, because people don't learn how to control their anger. And there's why there's a lot of, separations in the family unit. People can't work through getting to build the relationship. So I think the key is don't let it turn into rage. Right. You can be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger, the scripture says. And learn to work through that anger. Don't take that anger out on another person when you're trying to build a relationship.
Which is why it's always wonderful when there's a wiser, usually older Christian man or woman involved in these hot situations, whether it's a Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas or something at the office or even something at the church, because their wise counsel and their calm approach, because they're utilizing one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. Man, it's always such a blessing, and they are always like the eye of the storm. They're the calm in the middle of a storm, but a fool gives full vent to their rage. God never tells us that anger is off the table. What the scripture says is, in your anger, do not sin. But you also need to check your anger, because more often than not, David, I think our anger probably isn't quite as righteous as we like to think it is. But what a great reminder for all of us, for sure. But stock market indexes are overall have done well again, at least for a few days. So give us an update on what's going on there. Will we get a Christmas rally? Will there be something under the proverbial financial Christmas tree this year? Or are we going to stay consistent with the rest of the year and expect more red, not green?
So stocks are on track for November gains. The S&P is up 4% in the month of November. NASDAQ's up 2.2%. The Dow's up the largest, 6.7%. They're still down year-to-date, as you were saying. But this could possibly be another month. We could have the second month straight of green in the stocks for the first time all year long.
Yeah.
What's causing some red today is simple as China, the COVID outbreak, and Apple phones down, production down 30%, and the Chinese factory is responsible for 70% of the iPhone production. That's one thing. We had a whole nother problem with the crypto market again. Remember we talked about Sam Bankman-Fried, $50 billion. Well, as a result of that, I said it's going to go into other areas, and it came out today, a crypto outfit called BlockFi Inc. They filed for bankruptcy. They're in their 8 affiliates, and they are affecting 100,000 creditors. The box was checked during the filings for that between $1 to $10 billion. So it's not a small bankruptcy, not as large as FTX. But FTX had a significant connection to them, and because of FTX went down, this company is filing saying they were at a significant exposure. That's waning on the markets today. So, but will we have a Santa Claus rally? Joe Terranova, who's a CNBC contributor, says he doesn't think so. He said, if we get one, it's only going to be in the Dow. The other two indexes are having all kinds of problems. So I wouldn't bank your money on having a Christmas rally. One reason is also is that the market is telling us that the consumer's tapped out a bit. Friday holiday shopping on Black Friday was not what they expected it to be across the board. I went to Black Friday with my wife for the first time in 10 years. I thought it was busy. She said, this is nothing. So I guess here, even here in Phoenix, the shopping wasn't much.
Yeah, I mean, I went out on Friday in early, late morning with my daughter, and it wasn't nearly what I expected it to be. Then we got the numbers, and of course it isn't. Today's being Cyber Monday, we'll see about that. But, you know, credit card debt is way up. People are getting less for what they spent last year because of inflation. But when we had the short-term rally, are some people thinking, hey, maybe we won't have a recession next year?
Yeah, some people are thinking that, but the big banks who write the reports who predict what's going on, now they're saying the global economy is going to slow significantly in 2023 and likely the U.S. will have a recession. Another report is saying by the Institute of International Finance, the chief economist, Robin Brooks, tweeted saying global recession in 2023 is the best case. So it could be pretty bad. But when you look at the index, look at the Treasury market, that tells the clear picture. Look at the 2-year Treasury, look at the 10-year Treasury. 10-year Treasury yields are usually higher than 2 because
right.
It's more risk you're taking on. Well, they're inverted April 1st of this year, and they're inverted the most they've ever been since all the way back to 1982. Wow. The inversion is 0.8%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a lot in terms of the bond market being inverted. And when you look at the 3-month Treasury note and the 10-year, that's 100% right, predicting 8 out of 8 recessions. When that inverted, there was always a recession, and it inverted this year also. So both indicators are saying between a 90 to 100% chance of recession.
Wow. Yeah.
Some are starting between April to October of next year.
Yeah, and they say it's a 90 to 100% chance of rain, you better get an umbrella, right? That's just logic. I was listening to Glenn Beck this morning while I was grading papers, and he was just going ballistic about the central bank digital currency, which they're testing. How nervous about this should we be?
Extremely nervous. This is full control getting ready to happen. I mean, those of us who follow scripture and believe we're going to have a cashless society, this goes right in line with it. And last week, the New York Fed, the Federal Reserve announced they're doing a 12-week digital dollar pilot. So in other words, they're past the stage where they're working on it internally. Now they're putting it out there, testing it for 12 weeks among the largest banks, MasterCard, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, a whole bunch of others. We're going to get into this more next week, but I am more than alarmed in my spirit over this.
Yeah.
And it's going to turn into control is what it is, and we lose all our privacy is what it boils down to.
Yeah, and imagine that they have the ability to just go in one day and just flip everything and say, okay, hey, we know you had $22,000 in your savings account. We've just converted that into digital currency, and hey, here's how you can use it. And all of a sudden, they've got lock, stock, and barrel kind of control over that. Very scary. But on the other side, knowing that that falls right into Scripture, we know at the end, when Jesus returns, he'll settle every account. So ultimately, we'll be fine. In the meantime, that's a big, big problem. What about gold and silver? How are they kind of continuing to respond in this crazy environment?
So the U.S. dollar is the opposite of gold, and it's been up on a rampage this year, but it took a breather. This was a real opportunity for gold to make a rise. On November 2nd, gold, the spot index, not the paper, or the paper index, not the physical index, was at 1,615. It closed today at 1,740. That's up almost 8% in 3 weeks. Maybe this is a setup for a powerful higher movement in the market. It looks like it. China is stockpiling gold significantly. Their imports, they've been buying Russia's gold. So Russia,
wow,
you know, being gridlocked, they bought 750% more gold in July, China did, from Russia.
Yeah, that's when that's happening at a national level, and with entire countries doing that, we had better pay attention. So in order to understand what that means, David, how do people get more information? How do they get educated?
So we'll help you put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Just give us a call, 844-604-2575. Simply by calling us, 844-604-2575.
Or, as always, the website, always landmarkgold.com, landmarkgold.com. David, thanks for being on. We look forward to a full show next Monday, the first Monday of December. And in the meantime, have a great week, buddy. We appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, pal. Merry Christmas. We'll talk real soon. That was David Fisher. As always, this is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.